Welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Dr. Randy here, continuing our take on decision-making from yesterday. We didn't even get much below the surface on this topic. If you missed it, I hope you go back and listen. We're continuing the discussion today. How do you make decisions? What have you learned about decisions? Don't blow this off because this is a huge topic. In fact, when you make your decisions and you act on them, well, there'll be certain consequences. If you don't act on them, there are certain consequences. But decision-making is so critical to our lives. In fact, it's the number one step in intentional living. When you think about it, if you're a follower of Christ, there was some point in your life you made a decision. And if you didn't, you ought to today, right? Don't just assume because you go to church and you're a nice person and listen to me on the radio that you're a follower of Christ. Did you ever make a decision? That's the level of decision making we're talking about here. The decisions that can alter the course of your life. Do you know Christ? Who did you marry? Who will you marry? Where are you going to work? How are you take care of your health, your finances, your life, your days, challenges that come along, how are you going to approach them? Decisions. We make them all the time. Sometimes they're biggies, sometimes not so much, but they all are important. So we're continuing the discussion today. You can join us at 888-888-1717. And when you do, you can leave your comments on our line. Allison, you're up first in Texas. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Randy. I just wanted to follow up with you. I listened to your discussion yesterday.
Thank you.
I wanted to take advantage of this opportunity just to give you a word from the Lord that He put on my heart. When I heard you ask, I thought about the verse in the Bible. It's Psalms 18:33, and He says, "He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights." So in the beginning of my walk with Christ, I was always, I guess you could say, kind of on fire for Him. So I was really impulsive with a lot of my decision-making. As I matured in my relationship with Christ, I've found that the slower you go into something, the quicker He can make you rise. Mm. And so I just like to ease into everything. So if, you know, the secret place that God tells you, you know, go into that secret place, because there is some stuff that He wants to reveal to us, but it's a secret. We got to dig for it, right?
Yeah.
We got to look for it. We got to search for it. So I've just found that easing into things by prayer and patience and steadfastness, that's the way to go. Just to encounter God and lay everything at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And He will show you what to do. He will make you as sure-footed as a deer.
Absolutely. And so that's true in every decision, isn't it?
Yes.
If we're going to buy a house or spend money or get married or get a job, that we really seek Him. And like you say, don't be impulsive. Impulsive decisions, yeah, generally don't work out all that well.
Yep. Learn the hard way.
That's a good word today. Thank you, Allison. I appreciate that. I was thinking of the Pat, you know, I tend to go to my friend Nehemiah in the Old Testament because he illustrates so many powerful principles that we teach at Intentional Living. I mean, this was a guy who was in the palace of the king. He was a cupbearer, meaning he tasted the wine and ate the food and took care of things for the king. And so if the king was going to get killed, you're going to get killed first, right? And so he had a responsible position. Obviously, he was very trustworthy, or he wouldn't have been put in that position. And he was doing his thing, minding his business, I suppose, until he asked an important question of some friends coming through from Jerusalem. What's going on back home? The walls are been knocked down. The gates are burned. People are in disarray. And it broke his heart because he's a Jew. And here is in a Babylonian king palace. And he wanted to do something for his people. But he wasn't impulsive. He didn't jump up, run out the door, and head to Jerusalem. The Bible said he fasted, he mourned, and he prayed for many days. If you look at the calendar, it was about 4 months. He spent some time really thinking this through and praying it through, feeling it. In that process, he put a plan together. He went into a great prayer that you see in Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah chapter 2, he took the action, took the risk, and he acted on the decision he made, not knowing what the outcome would be. He could have lost his head. But God blessed the decision, and of course, if you study the scripture, you know the wall was rebuilt in about 52 days. Powerful. And so it's a reminder, what you're saying, Allison, that boy, we got to sometimes just stop, pray, be really clear. Don't rush. Decisions matter. It's not like making a decision, you know, what you're going to do this afternoon with the kids. That's one decision, but what you're going to do with the rest of your life, that's a big decision. Very powerful. All right. Thank you, Allison. Let me go to Adriana in Arizona. How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. Go right ahead. What decision have you been making or working on?
Well, about a year ago, me and my husband decided that we wanted to move across country, and the Lord kind of just shut the doors, and he said no, and we kind of got mad about it because we were like, Lord, this is what we want, and we didn't understand what his purpose and plan was at the time. Well, we went and talked to our pastors at Church for the Nations in Payson, Arizona, and we kind of just sought the wise counsel like you were talking about in today's, or yesterday, I guess, at this point's message. And they said, you know, you're not ready yet. God's got plans for you here for this next time period, and he'll let you know when you're ready. And so then we got mad at them because we were like, how do you know we're ready? But in the end, it was super cool that we did seek that wise counsel, and we didn't just make an impulsive decision on moving our entire life, because now we are closing on our house tomorrow, and we are moving to Arkansas. And in the process of this last year, we have not only grown in our faith and in our leadership in the church, but we've also adopted my 16-year-old brother and got him out of a very bad situation that he was in. Wow. And we wouldn't have been able to do that if we had just impulsively moved. So I just wanted to encourage people who might be thinking about either moving or making a big decision like that, that, you know, if the Lord says it's not time, don't take it as discouragement. It's usually because he's got something so much more planned than you could ever imagine.
So would you say you're much more settled in your own selves with the decision today than you were a year or so ago, whenever that was?
Yeah. A year ago, we were going to leave out of fear. My great uncle passed away, and we were just afraid that we wouldn't have all the things we had before without him here, because he was helping us financially and stuff like that. And it was kind of just like God telling us, you have to trust in me. You can't trust in a person for provision. You can't trust in anything but me for provision. And over this last year, he's provided for us. And then he's also just blessed us with another child and with restoration in certain areas and in leadership, because we're worship leaders. So we had a lot of lessons to learn in leadership as well that we didn't realize we had to learn them. So, and now we're going out to Arkansas. We're going to go plant a church out there, and hopefully, eventually, my music will go somewhere.
Good for you.
So we're not leaving in fear anymore. We're leaving in faith.
Well, it's so clear now when it wasn't so clear a year ago.
Right.
Isn't that something? The idea that, wouldn't it be nice if we could have that hindsight? We could jump ahead and look back and say, you know, what should I do today? But God just spoke into your life. You were wise, though. You got counsel, even though you bucked it and didn't like it. You chose to follow it, and that's powerful. All right, Ariana, thank you for your call. God bless you in your move to Arkansas. Sorry to see you move from the area, but I hope you have a great ministry. Keep in touch. Continue to listen. You can find us online anywhere at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. We've all been there. You have a difficult decision, and you want to know God's will, but where do you start?
I believe that God's will is not nebulous or vague. It's all revealed for you and for me in His Word. To know and live in God's will, you must know and apply the Bible to every situation.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Finding God's Will, he discusses some practical ways you can know what God's will is for your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, thank you for doing that. And the reminder, Kurt, right on target, your support's making a difference. Go to theintentionallife.com, click on a little donate icon, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. I say this every day. It may sound a little redundant, but it's not. It's critical. We talk about decision-making today. Your decision to say, hey, I want to be a part of the ministry. I want to join this challenge of reaching people for Christ, and I can do this or we can do this. $1 a day, $30 a month, whatever it is that God lays on your heart, come be a part of this. We welcome you into our community here at Intentional Living. Again, 888-888-1717 is the number. Press number 2 or go to theintentionallife.com. Did you hear Ariana just before the break? She talked about a year ago we were ready to make a decision out of fear, and now they were making it out of confidence. There's a big difference. And I think it's a reminder, if you're trying to make a decision today and it's built on your emotions, watch out, because you're going to get bit. You know, the Bible verse says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's not just, we're not just talking about the beating thing in your chest. The heart, in biblical terms, refers to our will, our thoughts, our intentions, and our emotions. And so, don't lean on your own understanding is the next part of that sentence. Don't lean on your own emotions. Don't lean on your own thoughts, your own intention, your own will. That's the tricky part of being a follower of Christ, is making the discernment between those two. Let's just be real honest. And man, I've been around a long time, real long, long, long time, talking to people, and I've heard so many foolish Christians who have said, oh, God told me, or I know this is God's will. And I'm looking at them thinking, what you just told me you're about to do is not only stupid, it's contrary to Scripture. Don't tell me that God's going to be contrary to His own word. That's foolish. And so wisdom is to say, I'm going to stop and really say, wait a minute here. I want to take a double look here. Where are these emotions and thoughts and intentions coming from? Am I depending on my own understanding, or am I really, really, truly seeking God? Is this what I want, or is this what God wants for me? Seek His will in all that you do. And then He'll show you the path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Very timely. Talking about making decisions, let's get back to the callers here. Deanna in Arizona, what's your question for me today?
So I have been struggling with deciding whether or not to divorce or stay with my husband. There's been a lot of infidelity, mm-hmm. and it's lasted for years. And we've gone through counseling and Bible studies, and every year it's, continuing, and out of the guilt, the behavior at home affected as well, as far as how I was being treated and everything. And
how long you been married?
So we've been married for 5 years, and then we have been together, we're high school sweethearts, for 12.
All right, and you have children?
We have 2, yes.
And so,
a 3 and a 1-year-old.
Is he recognized that you're at a point you're trying to make a decision to stay or go?
Mm-hmm.
And what does he say?
He wants to stay together, and he crossed some few lines with his family as well. And we ended up moving across the country. Like, we moved back home because he's in the Army. So he stayed in Michigan, and we moved back to Arizona. And during the separation, physically, he has sought out help. Mm-hmm. So that's he's good. Starting to do all the things. Yeah.
His desire is to make the marriage work.
Yeah.
Is that your desire at this point, or have you checked out?
I think God's been working on my heart to continue fighting. I think I'm a little tired and I don't really know what to believe.
That's understandable. Kind of,
yeah. I've seen him make the steps and then go back and yeah.
Yeah. I think that's very understandable, Deanne. Let me challenge you. You think about decisions. The big decision you're trying to make is, should I stay in this marriage and stay with this man? But sometimes there's smaller pieces to a decision until you make the big one. Does that make sense? And to be able to maybe make a decision about, wait a minute, how am I contributing to this? What am I doing? What do I need to change in terms of my holding him accountable, putting boundaries in place, or a decision that I need to make about my own emotions? And in other words, are there decisions that need to be made before we make the big, sometimes life-altering decision? Does that make sense? And a lot of times that comes back to asking the right questions. And well, like you just said, you're tired, you're exhausted, you're weary. And I have found when I'm weary, when I'm tired, when I'm exhausted, my decisions tend to be more foolish than when I'm awake, getting good counsel, and really taking my time. And so in your case, maybe that's what you need to do. Get some rest, get some good counsel, ask yourself some of the right questions. Sometimes just taking 30 days can make a big difference, right? In fact, I think Valerie wants to weigh in on that. Let's go to Valerie in New Mexico. It sounds like for you, Valerie, time has been a big part of this as you think about something similar going on in your own life. So tell us a little bit, what is going on?
We've been going through quite some issues. I was wanting to work out of my marriage, and I've decided that for the next 30 days, I'm going to apply my favorite verse, that is, be still and know that I am God, because I know that God can restore anything. So something big has to happen for me to stay, but that's my intentional 30 next days.
Mm. Well, you sound like you're right there at the edge, aren't you?
I am.
How long have you been married, Valerie?
17 years.
Yeah. I have been in this long enough to see people get to the brink. I've seen people step over the brink where divorce has occurred, and they've been able, as a result of really equally submitting to God, coming back and making the relationship work. But you're never going to regret spending the next 30 days in prayer for your marriage, for your husband, and also then practicing whatever intentional steps you can take and loving him, and see what God does. And you're giving him a chance in the process of doing that.
Yes, you know, it's been ongoing issues, and I forgave, but seeing no change in the flesh, it's so easy for me to just say I want to get out. But I believe I've seen God working in this marriage, and I know that there's something else, but it has to happen, you know, sometimes, and it's not happening. So that's my intentional action for the next 30 days, because I don't want to just give up because I'm tired. I just want to grow my faith and believe in God. I know He can do it. And the change, unfortunately, cannot come from me. It has to come from God to touch His heart.
Absolutely. And I think what you're really practicing here, Valerie, is this thing of the circle of control. I can only control myself. And I recognize I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And sometimes we go, and some of you are saying, well, I've been praying for my husband or my wife and going through this for year after year after year. And maybe it's time to say, hey, I'm going to give it 30 days where I really work on me. What's going on? I want to make sure I'm clear, because I got to live with whatever decision I make, okay? I can't change the other person. I can't change the situation. But man, I can take a hard look at myself, okay? And by the way, I'm not saying there's not a problem that has to be dealt with, please, in situations. But it should begin with a real clear understanding. And Scripture says, not my own understanding, but really seeking His will and making sure my heart is fully trusting in Him every step of the way. That's powerful. All right, some marriage questions. Let's go to something a little different. Retirement, apparently. Candy, it says here that you're nearing retirement in your life.
Well, I would say I'm probably in the next 5 to 6 years.
Okay.
But I made a decision. decision, and it was my husband and I made it together after a lot of prayer and thought went into it. I was in a pretty high-stress executive role that was impacting probably my health and my happiness, and I made the decision that I would step out of that role.
Yeah.
But I'm not really ready to retire, per se, but really kind of struggling with that next step and feeling like I'm guided by God of, like, not just jumping into another executive role.
Mm-hmm.
It's really been a great time for me to really connect with God again, spend a lot of time in devotion and just worshiping Him, being able to serve at the church. So it's really hard to think of, you know, jumping back into like a full-time or over full-time job again and lose that part.
Sure.
But also wanting to be financially responsible.
Well, that's the question. Let me ask you, can I ask you some questions?
You bet.
Okay. Do you have to work? Is money an issue?
You know, we're blessed. You know, we did our savings like we should have. We both, my husband and I, have had really wonderful jobs. And so, no, I mean, financially, we're doing okay. I think we worry, though, do we have enough in retirement to last? I have a lot of longevity in my family of living to 100. So just knowing that, you know, do you have enough is a big question.
Yeah. Well, good for you. That's good. So, all right. That's practical things. You can, you know, those are numbers, X's and O's you can work on. If money were not an issue at all, what would you like to do with your life in this next stage when you get to it? I mean, what brings you the greatest pleasure in life?
It's serving. I would say serving people. I have a background as a nurse, and I haven't done like that hands-on nursing for a long time, but to do something to serve would be incredible.
All right. So you would find the greatest pleasure in your life helping people. In that, moving papers and X's and O's and accounting or something like that, it's involved in helping people.
Yeah.
Okay. In what ways do you find, I mean, do you enjoy, is it helping people in need? Is it service through the church? Where is it that you have found the greatest joy? What kind of needs do you like serving?
I think people in need is where I get the most enjoyment and satisfaction.
All right. What does your husband think you should do?
Well, I think he is our, so we did Dave Ramsey, and he's the nerd, so he's definitely the number cruncher guy.
Yeah.
And
every family needs one, by the way.
So, exactly. And I'm so glad he does, because that's not me. But I know he feels like the more we have in our retirement accounts, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that is probably a little bit of my stress right now, is I want to make sure that I meet his needs to a feeling that we need to be financially responsible.
Do you agree with it, or do you think he's too nerdy?
Oh, you know, I think he's too nerdy, and I think there's some growth piece that God's kind of pushing us to, is because I think having a lot of money doesn't necessarily always put it in your bank account. Sometimes it's a temptation to, you know, maybe go the material route and do things that aren't needs, but they're kind of wants, to satisfy those wants. So I think that's where I'm struggling too, is I feel like God's not leading me that way. He's leading me to be more like, you can live on what you're doing and probably make better choices and not go the material route if you didn't have the money to do that.
Now, let me ask you, are you working full-time now?
I'm not. So I'm kind of in that semi-retirement mode since I quit my executive role.
All right. So that's right. You said you went to like half-time, basically?
Being over 55 in the workforce is really challenging, too, of finding something and somebody who wants to, I think, take a risk on somebody older in the workforce, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing some applications and things like that, but really haven't had any success yet in finding that next role. And that might be part of me, is maybe I'm not sure in what that role is.
Because you know what I think? I think that most Christians, we really don't seek it enough. We really don't stop and ask the question, is this God's will for my life? For many believers, God's will I think is seen as being something very mystical, something that's somehow obscure or far away, too difficult to easily perceive, to comprehend, and to apply to our lives. You know, but nothing could be further from the truth. God's will for whatever it is you're facing today, whatever decisions you're trying to make, is very much within your grasp. In Jeremiah 29:11, you read, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." You know, I really believe God has a wonderful purpose for your life. The trick is to be able to tap into it and put it into motion.
And that's an excerpt from, you know, really finding God's will in your life, following His will in your life. And it's available up on our website. All of this made possible because of the generous financial and prayerful support of ministry team members around the country. Come and be a part of this challenge with us in reaching people around the world to come to Christ and then live for Him daily, intentionally. You can call us at 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com. Thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. All right, Brent, quickly, we're out of time. What's your decision, my friend?
I was very lackadaisical in my prayer life up until about 6 months ago, and I just made a commitment to pray every day.
And how's that been going?
I'll tell you what. Let me just give you one example. I'm disabled, and I was applying for disability, and everybody kept telling me, get a lawyer, get a lawyer, get a lawyer. But as I prayed, the Holy Spirit put on my heart to just apply for myself. So I did, and I got approved the first time around in application. I didn't get denied. And that was solely because I prayed about it every day.
Now, was there a crisis that started you on this journey? What was it caused you to say, I'm making this decision and I'm going to be praying more intentionally?
I had a nervous breakdown and ended up in the hospital due to my disability. And I just recognized that I just wasn't being faithful in my prayer life. And I just decided that every day, I have to pray every day. And prayer works. It's made incredible differences in my children's attitudes. I don't even have to push them as hard as I used to do things around the house, because this Holy Spirit is just taking a hold of them and encouraging them to do their things.
Mm, that's great. Great note to end on there. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate it. Your comments are welcome. We'd love to hear, what have you learned about decision making? If nothing else, I hope you pause today and really seek God before you make that next important decision in your life. And if we've done that, that's intentional living. Your comments are welcome at 888-888-1717. Thank you, Jennifer and Stephen, the team here. And thank you for your prayers and support across the network. We appreciate it. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living Ministry, and it is a part of Intentional Life Media. Have a great day.